Luke chapter 7, Jesus heals the servant of a centurion. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier that had lots of other soldiers underneath him, so he was kind of an officer. Now, when Jesus had ended all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he came into Capernaum. And there was a certain centurion's servant who was very dear to him, who was sick and ready to die. Straight away, you get a good impression of this centurion because most of the people who owned slaves couldn't care less about their slaves. But this man did care about his slave, and he fulfilled what we read in the Old Testament, that the righteous man thinks about his servants and his animals. When he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews, begging him that he would come and heal his servant. Now, if he was a centurion, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. That's someone who wasn't Jewish. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him, saying that he's very worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself. I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. I didn't even think myself worthy to come to you. Just say in a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man who is under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he was amazed and turned around and said to the people that followed him, "I tell you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant healed who had been sick. So this man believed in the power of the word of Jesus. He said, just say the word. You don't physically have to be here. So in those days, people who tried to do miracles and healings, they always had to get right next to the person and put their hands on them and do some sort of magic ritual. But Jesus just said in a word, and this centurion believed that. And he had more faith than anyone who was in Israel. So Jesus is showing that actually the chosen people, the Jews, they were like spoiled children. They'd had everything, but they didn't love their God. Whereas the Gentiles, who didn't have the hope of Israel, had more faith than the Jews did. And you see his faith, the man's faith in the word of Jesus, and it's that same word of Jesus that we're reading and hearing all the time, and we're challenged to believe. The next day, Jesus went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and lots of people. When he came near to the gate of the city, there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And many of the people of the city were with her. So that woman was in a real bad situation. She didn't have any more sons. This was her only son. And her husband was dead. And in those days, if you were a woman alone without a man to bring in some money for you, you were in an awful situation. So she must have thought that her whole world had come to an end. And when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Don't cry." He came and touched the coffin, and those that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all of them, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this rumor of him spread throughout all Judea and all that region. Now, under the law of Moses, if you touched a dead body, you were unclean. And if you touched something like a coffin, you were unclean. And so they used to carry the coffins on rods, on poles, so they didn't get unclean. But Jesus came and actually touched the coffin itself. Remember how we said that he touched the leper? He wasn't frightened of getting involved in all our dirt and uncleanness. And there's nothing that's so unclean or so weak that he sort of turns away from it. He's involved with it. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?" Well, it seems to me that John was having a bit of a crisis of faith, and Nearly all the Bible characters you read of have some sort of weak moments in their lives. And this was his weak moment. When the men were come to him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, Are you he that should come, or do we look for another one? In the same hour, Jesus had cured many of their plagues and illnesses, and had given sight to many that were blind. So Jesus replied, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And that was a great sign, that the poor people were hearing the gospel, whereas the Jewish leaders were only interested really in getting rich people coming along, as it were, to their church, like a lot of people today. And blessed is he, whoever will not be offended in me or cause to stumble. So he's saying, really, in his message to John, don't stumble, John. And when the messengers of John had left, Jesus began to say to the people about John, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed that's being blown in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in splendid clothes? Those who are gorgeously dressed and live so delicately and finely are in the king's courts. What did you go out to see? A prophet? I tell you, much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So you see, John was at a weak point in his faith. But Jesus is so gracious. He says to all the people, John was great. He was wonderful. He had a really great faith. And so this is how he looks at us when we're in our weak points and weak moments. And this is how God ultimately will look at us. And that's why, read of the kings of Israel, you read that some of them died weak in faith or did bad things at times. But overall, God's comment on them is that this man did well and loved me. And all the people were amazed. Well, of course they would be amazed, because this was a grace, a way of looking at people in their weakness that was totally new to them.